So contemplation of all Buddhas, that's the first reflection. He says, okay, then there are five additional factors that help this reflection. And they are very much in the same sort of language that's in the Threefold Puja, which is in my mind, as I remember that, Bhante wrote the words of the Threefold Puja. Yeah, he did. So you get the same reflections here, almost the same. When the Buddha started out, they were just like me. I have an afflicted nature, under the influence of unhelpful kleshas and emotional turbulence. So did the Buddha to be. He succeeded in realizing enlightenment, so I could. So it's that sort of language, you know, what the Buddha attained, I could too kind of attain. The Buddhas bring forth great heroic bravery. They all succeeded. And then if this Bodhi is in fact something which can be realized, I too ought to be trying to realize it. Why not? If they did it, why do I think I couldn't? All Buddhas generate brilliant wisdom, even when encased in the shell of ignorance. They manage to extricate themselves. Why shouldn't I be able to extricate myself? All Buddhas are heroes among men and have crossed the sea of afflictions. I too am a real man. So some of us have to rise above language here. That would be the first, that might be the first obstacle, but yeah. So that those sort of reflections, the Buddhas were heroes among men. I'm born as a human being. Why not me? They brought forth great vigour and relinquished even their lives and wealth. I could learn from that. So you get quite a lot of detail about that sort of reflection. I then go on to the contemplation of the false and perilous aspects of life. And these reflections, how Dhammadasan did it, we did it earlier, but I mentioned mainly reflecting on impermanence, reflecting on the unsatisfactoriness of that. And Vajrabandhu suggests reflect on the five skandhas, reflect on the elements in one's physical being, reflect upon how one commits all sorts of unskillful deeds, and he describes seeing beings do that, or remembering himself doing it in flourishing fashion. In flourishing fashion, we commit all sorts of unskillful deeds. I better abandon that. That's what you get, this phrase. I'd better stop. My mind's possessed by covetousness, hatred, delusion. They burn up the wholesome aspects of my mind. I just want to be rid of this. Reflect like that. This life and this body particularly is fragile, it's like a bubble, like sea foam. Why am I clinging to something like that? My actions are so blanketed by ignorance that I carry on round six realms. There's no benefit to that. So you might think, you might be thinking, well, these sorts of reflections are rather one-sided, aren't they? Well, they are, actually, one-sided, I suppose. So you might think, well, are they just... it's all concentrating on the painful aspects of life. There are other aspects to human life, that's true. There are aspects of human life that are joyful, beautiful. There are good things about in the human life. But maybe don't reach that... conclusion or possible conclusion that is one-sided. Maybe don't reach that conclusion too quickly or too readily, because there are levels of suffering, and Vasubandhu is not ignoring the joyfulness it can be or the pleasantness it can be in life, but actually seeing underneath that, well, yes, there is, it's also impermanent, and below that there's a level in which there's a sort of root longing that we can feel in ourselves at times that doesn't really ever get met. So on a certain level, it's one-sided, but if you go deeper down through that, maybe it's not so one-sided, these reflections. I'll not say much about what he says about seeking the past supreme fruits, which is equivalent to the contemplating the virtues of Pythagata, because it's quite similar to what we did. You just reflect on all the virtues of the Buddha and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And then the fourth one in Vasubandhu's one is kindness and compassion for beings. And this is much longer than the others. And he goes into it much more. He goes into it with more detail. So again, there's five additional circumstances. You observe that beings are tied up by ignorance. Why? Because we're deceived by delusion and love. Brings about suffering. We don't believe in cause and effect. Commit evil deeds and then, surprise, surprise, suffering comes in their wake. We abandon the right dharma while believing in and accepting erroneous paths. This is the language. And we sunk in rivers of affliction and swept along by four currents of desire, existence, for existence, by ignorance, by views. In these sorts of ways, we are tied up by ignorance. So it's strong stuff. Carries on and describes beings being bound by manifest sorts of sufferings. We fear old age, sickness, aging, but we don't seek liberation from them. We're beset by worries, afflictions, grief sometimes, but we create more of it. Beings endure suffering from being separated by ones we love, but we don't awaken to why that arises from our attachment. We suffer the closeness of being with people we do not like, but we generate hatefulness and create more adversaries. So in that way, beings are bound by manifold sufferings. Carries on, beings engage in accumulating bad karma. There's various examples of that. We engage in extremely grave evils, break important precepts, and are then beset with worry, but continue to be negligent. Commit evil deeds in the most flourishing of ways, but don't feel ashamed of that. Slander the Dharma, devote ourselves to foolish involvement with our own attachments, and then generate arrogance based on it. And even though we cherish intelligence and wisdom, nonetheless, we sever our own roots of goodness and then indulge in hypocrisy and don't regret it. Yes. Last, we fail to cultivate the right dharma. And he says, we don't listen to the right dharma and don't know how to cultivate goodness. We might encounter a Buddha, might hear the right dharma, but be unable to accept it or don't uphold it. Engage in non-Buddhist ideas and then abandon a means of transcending suffering. And the last thing he mentions is we get lost in the bliss of meditation, mistake it for nirvana, and then eventually at some point in the future fall into lower realms, fall away from that into lower realms. It's quite something, isn't it, this fourth one? It's quite something. And